Welcome back. In this Western psychology lecture, we're going to look at anxiety now. Anxiety is normal. Like all of the emotions, anxiety is part of the experience of being human and helps us to navigate, process, and understand the world and ourselves. Moderate levels of anxiety can actually improve performance. And sometimes severe levels of anxiety can be experienced as normal when they are consistent with the demands of the situation. But anxiety is more than just feeling a little bit anxious. The anxiety in anxiety disorders is irrational. It results in avoidance of situations and can really greatly impact on people's lives. So individuals with generalized anxiety disorder, GAD, are worried much of the time about a broad variety of things, worrying that disaster will occur despite their constant worrying. Individuals with social anxiety disorder fear negative evaluation in social situations and often avoid them. And individuals with panic disorder experience unexpected panic attacks and are worried about their implications and that they might happen again. The proportion of people diagnosed with an anxiety disorder in their lifetime or lifetime prevalence is 26.3%. It's pretty high, right? This includes 5.9% with generalized anxiety disorder, 10.6% with social anxiety disorder, and 5.2% with panic disorder. Anxiety is a very common experience. Just like depression, the signs and symptoms of anxiety are psychological, physical, and behavioral. Let's look at the psychological symptoms. These include excessive fear, worry, catastrophizing, obsessive thinking, rumination, and negative thoughts. The physical symptoms of anxiety often include a racing heart, shallow, rapid breathing, tightening of the chest, panic attacks, hot and cold flushes, difficulty sleeping, restlessness, or feeling tense, wound up, and edgy. The behavioral symptoms of anxiety are usually around avoidance of situations that arouse anxiety, and this can really impact on study, work, or social life. So I want to show you now a video put out by Beyond Blue, a wonderful organization in Australia that has a lot of great information about mental health on their website. For those of you who haven't experienced significant anxiety before, this short video gives a really good idea of what it feels like. It is pretty intense, so please do look after yourself. Feel free to stop or pause if you need to and take some time afterwards to ground yourself. So on one hand, this video comes with a trigger warning. And on the other hand, if you want to run classes and hold space for people experiencing anxiety, it's important that you have the tools to be able to hold space for their anxiety too. And this video could give you a sense of doing that.
I've been expecting you.
What?
Don't tell me you don't recognize me.
Oh.
Still don't know who I am.
Let me try and help you. I'm the ill ease that you feel when you walk into a crowded room.
You know, the hot and cold flushes that confuse you when you're already confused enough. I am the one that raises the whip to your already racing heart. I am the tightening of your chest, the snowballing worries that feel like they might become an avalanche and could just bury you in an instant. My friend,
I am the obsessive.
And I'm the compulsive.
I'm the voice. You know the one.
It's always questioning, questioning, questioning everything you do, everything you think.
And I am every single staring eye that watches you. And every one of those places
that you try so desperately to avoid. So, now that we have become acquainted, what are you going to do about it?
So now we've all had a feel of what anxiety feels like in our bodies. I don't know about you, but when I watch that, I can feel it in my body. Let's have a look now at the DSM-5 and the various anxiety diagnoses. So we're going to look at generalized anxiety disorder, social anxiety disorder, and panic disorder. So let's start with the first one, generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD. Basically, in generalized anxiety disorder, you're worried all the time about nothing in particular and everything in general. In order to meet diagnostic criteria for generalized anxiety disorder, you need to have A, excessive anxiety and worry, apprehensive expectation, occurring more days than not for at least 6 months about a number of events or activities, such as work or school performance. B, the individual finds it difficult to control the worry. C, the anxiety and worry are associated with three or more of the following six symptoms, with at least some symptoms having been present for more days than not in the past 6 months. 1, restlessness or feeling keyed up or on edge. 2, being easily fatigued. 3, difficulty concentrating or mind going blank. 4, irritability, 5, muscle tension, and or 6, sleep disturbance, difficulty falling or staying asleep, or restless, unsatisfied sleep. D, the anxiety, worry, or physical symptoms cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. E, the disturbance is not attributable to the physiological effects of a substance or another medical condition. And F, the disturbance is not better explained by another mental disorder. So basically, GAD is when you're worried all the time about nearly everything. It can be really tough. Let's take a look at social anxiety disorder, or social phobia, now. Basically, in social anxiety disorder, you're anxious in social situations. To meet diagnostic criteria, you must have the following. A, marked fear or anxiety about one or more social situations in which the individual is exposed to possible scrutiny by others. Examples include social interactions, like having a conversation or meeting unfamiliar people, being observed, like eating or drinking, and performing in front of others, for example, giving a speech. The individual fears that he or she will act in a way or show anxiety symptoms that will be negatively evaluated. For example, will be humiliating or embarrassing and will lead to rejection or offend others. C, the social situations almost always provoke fear or anxiety. D, the social situations are avoided or endured with intense fear or anxiety. E, the fear or anxiety is out of proportion to the actual threat posed by the social situation and to the sociocultural context. F, the fear, anxiety, or avoidance is persistent, usually lasting for 6 months or more. G, the fear, anxiety, or avoidance causes clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. H, the fear or avoidance is not attributable to the physiological effects of a substance, for example, a drug abuse or medication or another medical condition. I, the fear, anxiety, or avoidance is not better explained by the symptoms of another mental disorder. And J, if another medical condition, for example, Parkinson's disease, obesity, disfigurement from burns or injuries is present, the fear, anxiety, or avoidance is clearly unrelated or is excessive. Let's take a look at panic disorder now. So panic disorder is when you have panic attacks. To meet diagnostic criteria, you need A, recurrent unexpected panic attacks. A panic attack is an abrupt surge of intense fear or intense discomfort that reaches a peak within minutes and during which time four or more of the following symptoms occur. One, palpitations, pounding heart or accelerated heart rate. Two, sweating. Three, trembling or shaking. Four, sensations of shortness of breath or smothering. Five, feelings of choking. Six, chest pain or discomfort. Seven, nausea or abdominal distress. Eight, feeling dizzy, unsteady, lightheaded or faint. Nine, chills or heat sensations. 10, paresthesias, numbness or tingling sensations. 11, derealization, feelings of unreality or depersonalization, feeling detached from yourself. 12, fear of losing control or going crazy. Or 13, fear of dying. And the note here, culture-specific symptoms, for example, tinnitus, neck soreness, headache, uncontrollable screaming or crying may be seen. Such symptoms should not count as one of the four required symptoms. B. At least one of the attacks has been followed by 1 month or more of one or both of the following. One, persistent concern or worry about additional panic attacks or their consequences, for example, losing control or having a heart attack or going crazy. Or two, a significant maladaptive change in behavior related to the attacks. For example, behaviors designed to avoid having panic attacks, such as avoidance of exercise or unfamiliar situations. And often what I see is both of these often show up. C, the disturbance is not attributable to the physiological effects of a substance or another medical condition. And D, the disturbance is not better explained by another mental disorder. So there are a number of other anxiety disorders in the DSM-5. We're not going to go into those, but I will read these out to you so you have an understanding of the other potential diagnosis that one of your students might be given. There's separation anxiety disorder, selective mutism, specific phobia, agoraphobia, substance medication-induced anxiety disorder due to another medical condition, or an other specified anxiety disorder. Again, that's, you know, someone's experiencing anxiety, but their symptoms don't fit into, you know, one of the diagnostic criteria, so they're given a diagnosis of other specified anxiety disorder. So again, as a yoga teacher, it's outside your scope of practice to diagnose your students with anxiety. However, a student might come to your class and let you know that they're experiencing anxiety, or their doctor or their psychologist diagnosed them with a specific anxiety disorder, or they might exhibit some of the following indicators. An anxious or rajasic energy, and we're going to talk more about rajas later on in the course. They're often worried about getting it right, moving and speaking quickly. You know, this can contrast with depression. Often it's moving and speaking quite slowly. And I found that anxious students will often come to class early as opposed to depressed students who often show up late. Students with anxiety can be restless in class, particularly in restorative postures. They're often drawn to more dynamic styles of yoga. They often hold tension in their face and their body, perhaps looking around the room to see what other people are doing. The breath can often be fast and shallow, or holding the breath. It's the sense of perfectionism, striving to get the postures right and feeling frustrated if they don't get them right, and asking lots of questions in class. So note that presenting with just one or two of these indicators, it doesn't mean necessarily that your student is anxious. And it doesn't, you know, just because if they don't exhibit any of these symptoms, it doesn't mean that they're not anxious either. This list is merely intended to give you an idea of how anxiety might show up in your yoga class. Thank you so much for joining me for this lecture on anxiety. If there's anything that you need to do to support yourself after this, please go and do it right away. Find somebody that you love and give them a cuddle. Go for a walk in nature, do some yoga, meet what's coming up for you in a meditation practice. Just do whatever you need to do to feel okay. And I'll see you in the next lecture.